The first reading for the third Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 3. While the lame man who was now healed clung to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's, astounded. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us, as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 3. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. The gospel lesson takes place on Easter Sunday itself. Easter morning, the women had gone to the tomb to prepare the body of Jesus. By the way, that was the Jewish custom that the women prepared the bodies for funerals. So see, ladies, you even had to do that yucky work. Men. Anyway, so the angel tells them the wonderful news that he has risen, he is alive. The resurrection now changes everything. The women go to tell the apostles. Thomas was there at this point for the good news that he had risen. Peter and John run to the tomb. It only seems appropriate that Peter would be one that would run. You know, from what we know of Peter in the Gospels, Peter, the first one always to say something. All right? It's Peter who goes and runs. But should note that John beat him by just a little bit. Then Jesus appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Easter evening, 10 of the disciples are gathered together in that upper room for fear. Judas had already hung himself, so he's now out of the picture, and Thomas wasn't there. So today I'm going to talk about fears, how Jesus calms fears, and how Jesus reconnects us. Can fear paralyze us? Oh, yes. You know what a panic room is? People actually build these in their houses. It's a room that only has one entrance, no windows, and if you get broken into, you run into this room and you hide there, lock the doors, and then you can call the police and you're safe until the police arrive. This is kind of like what the disciples had going on in that upper room. It was their panic room. They were secluded behind locked doors. As if the religious leaders really wanted to get them, do you think they'd come up to the door handle? Oh, it's locked. Not, let's leave. See, they're not Detroiters. They don't think these things through. All right. Excuse me. You know, perhaps we understand the idea of seclusion a little bit more, especially with this past year when we were told to stay home or essential businesses only, wear masks, and then that lovely word we never spoke any of us, or two words, social distancing. I'm looking forward to when I don't hear that word every day. Yeah, I don't know about you all, but I'm tired of hearing that one. But we have some sort of an idea what it means to be secluded, especially if you were quarantined in your house for 2 weeks, which, by the way, I did a horrible job of it. Horrible job. I'm not one to be locked up. All right. Well, there's a common thread between then and now, and that's fear. Now, do we create a distance between who we are and who God wants us to be? All the disciples ran like scared sheep. Jesus had already foretold this one. He says, "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." Thomas had a short-term bravery. When Jesus announced they're going to Jerusalem, Thomas says, "Let's go. Let's go and die there." He had bravery at that point. Well, that didn't last too long. Thomas fled. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter pulls out a sword briefly, cuts off the servant's ear, and then Peter runs. Jesus had told Peter that Satan wants to sift you like wheat. In other words, sifting of the wheat, you take off the chaff and you keep the wheat. Was there more chaff in Peter or was there more wheat? Jesus warned Peter that Satan was after him. Then he tells Peter about the rooster. Peter, he ran too. Isolation and fear create distance. Hey, how would you respond if you saw somebody who was supposed to be dead? Now, just think about that one for a moment. We've gone from the Last Supper, the arrest, the crucifixion, the empty tombs, now hiding in a safe place. I said, Jesus' resurrection changed everything. Now, back to the idea of what would you do if you saw someone who you thought was dead? There's a true story, takes place in Detroit. Paramedics were called to the house of a young woman. Paramedics worked on her, trying to resuscitate her. They worked on her for a good 30 minutes, couldn't do anything, got her to the hospital. The doctor came in and examined her, declared her to be officially dead. Then they took her to the funeral home. While she's on the table about to be embalmed, she opened up her eyes. I am just trying to imagine that funeral director at that point. I wonder what her, the news story, I looked it up on CBS News. They didn't say what the family's reaction was, but I can imagine she's dead. Wait a minute, we got a phone call. She's alive. Back to our wonderful disciples. They're like sheep without a shepherd until they see Jesus. Does a crisis make us feel isolated from others? Is there something called a faithless faith? How solid is faith in a crisis? Here's an example of faithless faith. It does exist. It's really when you have a weak moment in your faith. Go back to the story of the Sea of Galilee when there's a huge storm and Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat and the disciples, trained fishermen, are afraid that the ship is going to sink. They're scared to death, and Jesus questions them about their lack of faith. Disciples were having another one of those moments in the upper room until Jesus appeared. Once they figured out he wasn't a ghost, they were glad to see him. Jesus, throughout his earthly ministry, had done unbelievable things like healing the sick, casting out demons, healing the lame, healing the blind, making the deaf to hear. Jesus wants us to know the strength of all the things he did in the past. What I mean by that is, we look at Jesus' earthly ministry, everything he did, all right, should convict us of the idea that he is the Christ, the Messiah, and that he came to give us an abundant life. And he also tells the disciples that they're going to take that message into the world. Now, question, were they really alone when they felt it? Have you ever felt alone, like isolated? You're alone but with people. You ever have that? I don't need to show my hands on that one. They weren't truly alone. There's a story, Senator John McCain wrote it in his book about his time when he was in Vietnam as a POW, and they were in a 4-foot by 7-foot cell. The 4 feet was the height, so they couldn't really stand up. This is the cell he was put into. Communication was absolutely forbidden, but they learned if they tapped on the wall, they could send messages. And John McCain wrote this, were it not for this tenuous contact with fellow prisoners, McCain says that loneliness would have destroyed him. Even when we feel alone, we're not. We don't have to tap a message out. All we have to do is to speak to our Lord in prayer. We're never truly alone. Now, Satan loves to make us feel alone. The disciples forgot that God has a final word. And sometimes we forget that as well. God has the last word on sin, the fear of death, and death itself. Remember how Jesus entered the upper room? He reconnected with his disciples and greeted them. By the way, the reason he asked for the fish to eat, because a ghost can't eat. Only if he was truly risen could he eat. That's why he asked for it. That's why that little tidbit of the story is included in the gospel lesson. Possible impossibilities. He enters the upper room without entering through the doors. Why would that surprise him? As I said, he healed the lame, made the blind see, calmed storms, walked on water, raised Lazarus from the dead. Do you think a door is going to stop him? Well, I guess we would be a little scared as well. There's two well-known Christian authors, Josh McDowell and Lee Strobel. Josh McDowell wrote the book Evidence That Demands a Verdict, and Lee Strobel wrote the very famous one, The Case for Christ. They both sat down to write a book to disprove the resurrection, that Jesus was not who he claimed to be. You know what they concluded at the end of the book? He was the Christ, that he was the Son of God. They came to faith looking it through the scriptures, trying to disprove it. They looked at all of his miracles and they came to the conclusion he has to be who he claims to be. The disciples thought that Jesus had come to establish an earthly kingdom. The crucifixion itself destroyed that idea. Like if I took a flower pot off a 10-story building and dropped it, what would I have on the ground? Little tiny shreds. That's what Jesus does to their idea that he has come to establish an earthly kingdom. Jesus rose. He made connections between what he had done previous to the crucifixion and what the Word of God said. I love that sentence in the Gospel lessons. He opened their minds to the Scriptures. In other words, guys, you haven't quite gotten it in 3 years. Let's try this. All right? Not that Jesus had failed in what he did. The disciples were just sort of hard-headed. They realized that all of Scripture had been fulfilled. Jesus also told them, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." God uses Christian witnesses throughout time to take that message everywhere. Some witnesses plant the seed. Others water, but it's the Lord who brings forth the increase. We can only share the gospel lesson with other people. And the easiest way to share the gospel lesson with other people is don't try to argue the existence of God. That's not going to cut it. Just how has Christ impacted your life personally? What's it mean to you to be a Christian? That's the best sharing of the gospel. Arguing with somebody just turns it into an ugly mess. So keep it simple. Now, how many today would rather be hiding in their safe place? If it comes to witnessing to the gospel or hiding in a safe place, let's hope that nobody would choose the safe place. I want to conclude reading from Romans 10:14. "But how are they to call on me in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen."